reading today are Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 and verses 4 through 7, and Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Let us listen for the word of God. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets, all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, and lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Let us pray together. Breathe on us, breath of God, till we're wholly thine, till all this earthly part of us glows with thy fire and love divine. Amen. In pain today. In pain today. That was the subject line of an email that I received this past week from a member of Foundry Church. And it struck me in a very deep way. These simple words struck me deeply as new reports of the devastation and death toll in Haiti continued to roll in waves, as fresh news of Christian exclusion and violence towards LGBTQ people emerged, both within our own denomination through the so-called Wesleyan Covenant Network and from other places like InterVarsity Fellowship. In pain today hit me in a deep way as I sat as a participant in the God and Guns 2016 conference that happened this past Friday at the Riverside Church in New York City. And I listened to pain-filled stories of the survivors of gun violence. As I was again confronted by the intersections of race and poverty and guns and death. In pain today, struck me deeply as late on Friday after a full day, I got on my phone to catch up on the news that I'd missed during the day, to discover their indefensible misogyny and sexual violence being defended and rationalized and normalized. For what? Votes? yesterday, I arrived at Penn Station. I was very proud of myself. I got there early, a little early, just enough to have a little breathing room before getting on a train. I always get lost in Penn Station. But I got there a little early and found a guide who knew where he was going to follow. And together we heard an announcement over the speaker that our train was delayed and there was no idea how long the delay would be. When we got a little further information, we were told that there was a body on the tracks. No further information, just a confirmation of death. And so I spent the next 2 or 3 hours sitting on the floor in Penn Station to ponder the words, in pain today. Every day, both near to us and in places far away, people are in pain. Among the presenters at Friday's conference was Reverend Alan Story, the South African Methodist pastor and prophet. He confessed to us that sometimes, he said, sometimes I numb myself just to keep sane. That resonated with me. Perhaps it does for some of you as well. We may need to numb ourselves sometimes in the face of so much tragedy and injustice and pain. But we need to guard ourselves against allowing the numbness to devolve into apathy or despair. We are, after all, the people of God, called to be witnesses to God's extravagant love and mercy in the world. We are called to be witnesses to God's presence and to God's promise, not just when things seem relatively okay, but each and every day, and especially in those days such as these, when there is so much pain and confusion and anger, we are called to stand up, to be God's people, to be God's witnesses. And we here, as Foundry Church, have a particular witness. The story that we tell and seek to embody is a critically important counter-narrative to what is espoused by some who claim the name Christian. There are those who preach that to be Christian is to think that you know the very mind of God. That God punishes people through natural disasters and acts of violence. That women should be subservient to men. That God and country is one word. That serving God requires exclusion and hate. Alternatively, Foundry affirms that serving God is to serve each other. We're clear in our core values. All people are children of God and should be treated that way. People who feel excluded elsewhere are welcomed and integral to our shared life. When we say we serve God by serving each other, the each other we serve is not just those who claim Foundry as their faith community. The each other we serve is not just those who believe what we believe, or vote like we vote, or live like we live, or love like we love. Our call is to serve each and every other there is. Because every other is beloved of God. Because every other experiences pain. Because every other has the capacity to more fully know and reflect the divine image that is the birthright and goal of all humankind. We ground this core value of service in Jesus' teaching that part of the greatest commandment is to love our neighbor. Jesus showed us what that looks like in practice. And it's messy, and it's political, and it's beautiful, and it's transforming, and it's confrontational to love your neighbor. Jesus shows us that loving our neighbor means to lay down our lives for the other. Death and resurrection is always part of the story. Today we read the prophet Jeremiah who says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." I must confess that when I think of this verse of scripture, I often think about my own call to seek the welfare of this city that I love and in some ways am kind of an exile in. And certainly that is part of my calling. It's part of our calling, being in this place. But I want us to be clear that these words of Jeremiah are not directed to me or to anyone like me with power and privilege and stability. They're not words telling us with power and resources to go and help those poor people in the city. Jeremiah's words were spoken to the exiles who were deported from Babylon after Babylon deported from their home to Babylon when Babylon occupied Judah in 597 BC. Jeremiah is not speaking to the conquerors. Jeremiah is speaking to the conquered, to the poor, to the immigrants, to those who had lost their homes and their livelihoods, who had been driven out of their country by violence. And several implications come to mind that might guide us as we think about our call to service. First, the assumption in this text is that the exiles, those forced from their homes and countries by violence, and there are lots of different kinds of exiles in our culture and society, are there not? People forced from their homes by some kind of violence. The assumption in this text is that the exiles have gifts to offer that will contribute to the welfare of the place where they make their home. This is not a small detail in our current cultural and political climate. How much of our current rhetoric speaks of what those people, that is immigrants, poor, even LGBTQ people, those people, how much do we hear about how those people take things away from us? This text wants to argue just the opposite. Second, God's people, in this case those in exile, God's people in exile are encouraged to seek not just their own welfare in the new place. They're not just sent out by God to say, you know, go and do your best, find your way, make a place for yourself. But God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah to God's people in exile saying, seek not just your welfare, but also the welfare of your enemies, those who had done you greatest harm. Seek the welfare of the city, of those people who have just hauled you away from your home. Seek the welfare of your enemy's home and community. This speaks to the interconnectedness of the human family. All the lines that we want to draw to keep us separate, to keep us from having to care for or serve or love others, lines of country and gender and culture and politics and race and religion, all these lines that we want to draw so that we don't have to care, those lines are not of God. Yes, there are real differences. We're not all the same. God made us beautifully different. And there are those who have done great harm and do harm. But in the midst of all of that, friends, and in the midst of all of that, we belong to each other. We belong to each other. Jesus echoes this teaching when he says that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. This doesn't mean that we don't challenge and fight against actions or policies that do harm, or that we overlook greed or injustice or fear-mongering. Rather, we are called to love our enemies enough to call them out for the ways that they betray their own human dignity through acts of injustice or violence. We are called to love our enemies enough that we want to see them flourish and become more free of the things that they're doing that make themselves smaller, even as they belittle and destroy others. We are called to love our enemies and to call them out for the ways that they distort the image of God in them through their greed and cruelty. Jesus never minced words with the agents of religious, political, or social injustice, but he never sought to destroy them. The neighbors we are called to love and serve, who are they? Well, they include our enemies. Another implication for us today from Jeremiah is that for any here today who are not living in poverty, who are not immigrants, refugees, those dispossessed of home, family, or livelihood due to violence, for any of us not in those situations, our duty, first and foremost, is, as one of the other presenters said on Friday, our duty is to close our proximity to pain. Like Jesus, who draws near to those who were feared and shunned by others, like the lepers in our gospel text, our role is to stand in solidarity, to draw close to those who are struggling, who are suffering, who are in pain, and to honor. We do this not because we have what they need and we're going to come and fix it and save them because we're so good and they're so needy and it's going to make us feel so much better if we can just go into the city and help those poor people. But rather, we are called to stand in solidarity, to come alongside those who are struggling and in pain, and to do anything that we can to lift up and honor the gifts that they are and that they have to offer. And we do that. We do that because they're our sisters and our brothers. Because we belong to each other. Because they have gifts that are given to them by God to share that will increase the welfare of all of us. A recap from Jeremiah. We humble ourselves and welcome the stranger. Serve your enemies as well as your friends, and that might mean through challenging them. Be in solidarity, in real relationship. Be on the front lines with those who are in pain and the victims of exclusion and violence. The welfare of our city, our nation, and our world hang in the balance. Got it? No problem. So often we wonder, well, what do we do? What do we do? Tell me what to do. How do we concretely respond to the pain and need that is all around us? Well, there are lots of ways. A few of them you already know. Don't boo vote. If your parents talk to your children about how to respect other people, whether they're women, men, transgender, whoever they are, black, white, poor, having nothing, having everything, talk to your children about how to honor the image of God in other people. You know that stuff. This is what I want to say to you today. I want you to understand that you don't have to go looking somewhere else to try to figure out where to make a difference and where to touch the pain of the world. Because insofar as you are part of this Foundry Church, you are responding. You are touching the pain in the world. You are making a difference. Together, we are serving God through serving others. It is happening. And one way we do this is simply through being who we are and looking like we look. Another is through the counter-narrative that we offer in the world. A narrative of God's radical hospitality and inclusion, of God's steadfast love and mercy, not for some, but for all people. A narrative of faith that is relational and personal, that is intellectually rigorous and open to mystery, that is lived out in both the personal piety and in social justice, that is fueled from start to finish by God's grace. This in itself is a powerful way that we serve. You know, I think that so often we, because Foundry Church has been at this being itself, its fantastic self, for 200 years, that sometimes we take this for granted. But guess what? Just being who we are and proclaiming what we proclaim and putting ourselves out there is a powerful way that we serve. Just that. It changes lives. It gives hope. It touches people in those places of deep pain just by being and speaking. But you know, there's more. Because our witness of service is powerfully manifest in so many ways. Through our cooking and feeding missions, through our English as a Second Language program, through our Imago Dei ID ministry, which is one of only two in this entire city that helps the poor and unhoused obtain government IDs and birth certificates. Foundry sent more than 30 people to Portland, Oregon to build relationships and advocate for full inclusion of LGBTQ people at our general conference. And Foundry remains absolute in our commitment to welcoming all people and being a place that joyfully celebrates marriage equality. And I'm totally going to steal Mick Beadle's Roll Pride. That is just good. Roll Pride. Our Advent and Lenten Justice Series help us explore concrete responses to issues such as solitary confinement and gun violence and environmental justice. Foundry folks serve across the city during our annual Great Days of Service. This past spring, we inspired more than 350 people to come together to pack meals to serve hungry people all around the world. Foundry actively partners with organizations in D.C. to end chronic homelessness, like Pathways to Housing, whose offices reside right here in our building. And this past March, Foundry hosted right in this space a Housing for All rally, which was standing room only. People were almost like hanging off the walls. It was absolutely packed. And our own Pastor Ben stood right there and spoke some serious truth to the mayor and to other leadership and those in power in this city. I mean serious truth. I don't know if any of y'all were here, but holy moly, Pastor Ben, let them have it. We have cultivated relationships with Brighter Day United Methodist in Anacostia and Metropolitan United Methodist in the Sandtown neighborhood in Baltimore to support those churches' initiatives in their communities where poverty and racial inequity do harm. Our Scholar in Residence program this past year has challenged us to go deeper into the conversation and discernment around our action for racial justice, and growing out of that, the Racial Justice Ministry team has clarified its goal to lead us in awareness raising, active dialogue, and action. We are responding, you see. Books to prisons, grief support, prayer and care ministries, pastoral counseling, and more. All of these are ways that we are serving. That we're touching the pain. Already. In pain today. This reality can feel overwhelming and like we can't make any difference. But you can. And you do make a difference. By your support of Foundry Church. You're doing it. We serve through our prayers. We serve through our presence with one another in worship and study and fellowship. We serve through our financial gifts. We serve through hands-on ministry and mission. We serve through our witness as bearers of the good news of God's expansive love for all people. Our core value of service includes the words, we make personal commitments to work with people in our neighborhood and around the world. Personal commitments. And so, I leave you with the question today. What personal commitment are you willing to make for the welfare of our world?